Lord, by your Spirit, we ask that we could be lifted up in our hearts, those of us who have hearts that are weighed down, that we could be alert, and as we've sung before, that those who are asleep, we could wake up. Those who have been snuffed out, we could be relit and be stand on guard, stand watching for you, Jesus. We acknowledge your presence here today, and I offer these words in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. So what you're seeing here is a picture I took in Israel. I was just there, returned 3 weeks ago. Joanne and I, along with Kelly Bauman, along with Rasmei Ling, and a group of other pilgrims. We spent nearly 2 weeks in the Holy Land. And this is a picture of, it's dead, right? It's a cut down, cut in half olive tree. And you see how the center is rotted out. Some of you might not be able to see too well, but there you go. It rotted out, which is common for olive trees, and I didn't know that. Often olive trees have this happen. But then we'll see the next picture. So do you see it? It's a big olive tree. The trunk is about 5 feet across. It's in the Garden of Gethsemane. We wonder if this tree was there when Jesus prayed in the garden. I mean, it looks that old. But what's happening is, in the center of that trunk, there are rotten parts. There are open parts, not unlike the first tree that we saw. And so the way olive trees manage this is they send down roots, as you might expect, but those roots then also have an upward growth, and they strengthen the outside of the tree. So this root is not only underground, but it also works to strengthen this trunk of the tree that has been compromised by rot. And so when the prophets say that out of the stump of Jesse, Jesse was David's father, King David's father, out of the stump of Jesse, meaning out of the line of Jesse, the genealogy of Jesse and King David, out of the stump, and the stump has been cut off, the tree has been cut down, God's judgment has come against the unfaithfulness of Israel. Even so, a root out of the stump of Jesse will come up, and that'll be the Savior, the Lord. And so my understanding is that this sprout that comes, this shoot out of the stump or roots, grows to strengthen this tree that had grown weary and weak with rot. So if you can imagine the rotting center of religious practice of Jesus' day, right? Jesus came to, as he said, lay the axe at the root of the tree, to take it down completely, and then the goal was to restore right worship in not only the house of Israel, but throughout all the world. So Jesus is this righteous branch, this root that God has promised. And we do well to take note. So part of the idea through Advent is to acknowledge those areas of our lives that are rotten. They just are. They're rotten. And they need addressing. But sometimes we just simply paper over them. We might prime first and then paint over the rotten part. But this is a time of year where we say, no, Lord, please deal with that area of my life. As you deal with this olive tree, you bring up strong shoots around it, bring to me this rejuvenation in Christ by the Holy Spirit. Advent is a time, as we've heard already, to watch, to wait. Time becomes more of a focal point, unless in my reading of the scriptures. In the first reading, the prophet Jeremiah says, the days are surely coming. And so you might ask, well, what days? Well, the days when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. So God is speaking of a promise made and the day of fulfillment. And so as I spoke with the children, we look back to Jesus' birth. We see that as also a fulfillment. Savior has come, But we also see, look forward to the fulfillment of the promise when Christ will return and restore all things in his well-beloved Son, Jesus Christ. So God is at work, and what we're doing in Advent is recalling both the promise and acknowledging the fulfillment and anticipating the future fulfillment. In those days and at that time, this is from Jeremiah, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David. Not just any branch, not just any root, but a righteous branch to spring up in this kingly line, the Davidic line. One, the Savior will come through the line of David. And so we see this fulfillment unfolding. And he will execute, this righteous branch, execute justice and righteousness in the land. Justice and righteousness. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. And so God is restoring God's shalom. And this is the name by which this righteous branch will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. And may we take that on, even in Advent, to say, the Lord is my righteousness. I will not be put to shame. I might not be dismayed. I will stand firm in the Lord, and God will restore me and acknowledge even the rotten parts in me, those parts that are not sound, and that he will bring soundness once again. Now, it's almost like God has reversed this promise. Let's say I borrow money from you, right? There is a promissory note that I will repay the debt according to the terms contained in that note, and we both sign off on it. It's like God has made a promissory note to us, although he owes us nothing. We are the debtors. We are the ones who owe God our allegiance, our lives, all we have and all we are. And yet, I hear in these prophets that God is making a promissory note to us and promises to fulfill that note according to specified terms. The thing is, they're his terms, not our terms. And so this idea of promise and fulfillment undergirding this Advent season. Jesus intensifies this time signature, if you will. He says there will be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, and on the earth. And we're called to be aware, to be alive to God's timing. And so these signs, we wouldn't miss them. Many times I rode in the back seat of the family car. I was the youngest, so often I'd go on trips with my parents, just me and them, whether it was around town or even on a holiday. And my mom and dad both smoked up until I was the age of 12. So there are many times when I was in the back seat and they were up yakking, the radio's on, and they're smoking. And I saw something of great interest along the road. And I said, Mom, look. And we're zipping by at 100 kilometers an hour. And so by the time she goes, yes, dear? And she looks the wrong way, of course. Used to just upset me so much. I said, Mom, look. Yes, what is it, dear? And no, look. And it's gone. It's way gone. It's like, yeah, you missed it. What, dear? What did I miss? And I just didn't even want to explain what she missed, right? But I'd do that often. Look. And they'd miss it. They'd always miss it. And I'd sit in the back seat, frustrated as a kid, right? Well, that's the image here. The prophets are going, look. And those who are alive to God, in step with the Spirit, will go, oh, wow, that was amazing. And take note of the signs that it's not going to be done in a back corner here. There's going to be signs in the star, moon, and sun. The earth is going to be so upset and distressed because of the roaring of the sea and the waves. Is that at work now? Are we dismayed by what we see happening in the natural rhythms of the world, of the earth, of our geography and geology and weather patterns? Is that one of the signs? I think we do well to ask, is that one of the signs? God, in these last days, are you drawing things together? The last days, as I understand them, are from the time that Jesus rose from the dead and ascended to the Father to the time when he comes again in glory. I understand those as the biblical last days. And then they intensify toward the end. I don't get too detailed as to when this happens and what that means. I want to be aware. I want to be alive to God, that I wouldn't be confused with the things that are happening all around me. It says even that Jesus said that people will even faint from fear and from foreboding. Do you see an increase in anxiety today? Anxiety is epidemic. People paralyzed by anxious thoughts. And it's a huge industry to try to meet people's needs, to help them work through their anxiety. And we have one in our midst who is the Prince of Peace, who says, even though all this chaos is happening, you'd think that the next advice would be head for the hills, take off, dive for cover. But that's not it. Jesus says, even when the powers of the heavens will be shaken, then will they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud. Then will they see Jesus returning with power and great glory. And I don't want to miss it. I don't want to be going, what? Where? You know? And miss it completely. Because then it'll be too late. Now, when these things begin to take place, Jesus says, we should be sensitive enough to discern, you know what? I do believe there's a quickening. I do believe there's a shift. Something's happening here, and it's not just physical. It's not just meteorological. It's spiritual. Well, what's happening? And I think we do well to raise those in our small groups, in our Bible study, in our prayer, and talk about it. When these things begin to take place, Jesus said, stand up and raise your heads. Stand up. Raise your heads with anticipation. There's no shame for those who are in Christ Jesus. Stand up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. This salvation in Christ, who will bring all things into perfect submission, perfect shalom. Not to fear, not to be anxious, but to be well prepared. And so when the time comes, we can discern the times and we can be ready to receive this redemption that is drawing near. And then he tells a parable, and that's why I thought of the fig tree or the olive tree as we have in front of us. It says, take a look. This is like discerning the times 101. Jesus is leading us. Look at the fig tree and look at all the trees for that matter. You're good at it on that level. When you see the trees sprouting leaves, you know for yourself that summer is near. So we know the principles of reading the signs. Jesus is just saying, transfer those principles into spiritual principles. I tell you, he said, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Now, the word generation is problematic for some people, because the idea was that this generation, meaning 33 years about at Jesus' time, that was considered a generation, even less, that's when it would happen. This generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. And because that generation literally has passed away, was there a mistake? Are you following me? So the word generation here, it can mean three things. It can mean a people. It can mean a people group. It can mean this, like descendants of a common ancestor, so a people. It can also mean a set of people born at the same time, a generation, a cohort that moves through time, is born, lives, and dies. Or thirdly, it can mean a period of time occupied by such a set of people, often in the idea of successive sets of people. And so, is it simply a generation of 33 years? It seems to me that it's broader than that. If you're hung up on that, I hope you can get unhung up. And if you wondered why I just said what I did about generations, God bless you, right? These promises, either we can sort of base our lives on them, or they aren't trustworthy. And I believe they are trustworthy. In fact, Jesus says, heaven and earth are not trustworthy because they're going to pass away, but my words will never pass away. His words will endure forever. So then he kind of redoubles and says, well, then be on guard. This is important. Advent sort of scrapes away all the Christmas cheer, and I mean that as an irony, and I don't want to get down on Christmas, but I know that so many people are so exhausted by the time the 25th rolls around, they say, boy, am I glad that's over. And it hasn't even, it's just begun, friends. Christmas is a season. So let's watch it that we don't get too spent in the lead up to Christmas, that we miss the feast. Be on guard, Jesus said. Don't let your hearts be weighed down. We could put materialism in there too, and dissipation, just running around like a chicken with their head cut off. Don't do that. Or with drunkenness, you know, all these excesses. Don't allow your heart to be weighed down, or even by the worries of this day. Don't be paralyzed by worry. And some of us need help because we do get worried. It affects our sleep. It affects our daily lives, and anxiety is something that needs to be managed in our lives. And may God lead us all to resources that will help us. And I believe there are resources. And some people say, you know what, it's so hard to calm myself, I just forgot about it. I just didn't continue with those meditations. It's not easy. And yet, there's even a daily Advent meditation that'll show up in your inbox if you'd like. I think it's important that we do something, that we can guard our hearts and guard some quiet space in our day. Don't let that day, Jesus' return, catch you unexpectedly like a trap. It's too late once it snaps. Let's not be like, and I'm not criticizing my mother here, I know it's kind of hilarious, but you know, when she would say, what, dear? You know, where? What are you looking at? You know, and miss it. Let's not be so preoccupied that we miss it. Be alert at all times, Jesus says, praying that you might have strength. Strength to escape the things that are taking place, this chaos. Things are going to get more chaotic, it appears, rather than less. Pray for strength that you could escape, and also then to stand before the Son of Man, as the prophet said, to stand and raise your heads because our salvation is drawing nigh. May we be encouraged, may we also be spurred on to focus and to wake up to the things of God. In Jesus' name, amen.